Hey everyone, thanks for clicking into the Viral Volley Podcast. Here in episode 65, the NVA, the Men's Volleyball League in the United States, is back in action. And this last weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah, was the NVA showcased. In this episode, we have play-by-play commentator for the NVA showcase, Nick England, and courtside reporter, Olivia Phelps, here this week on the Viral Volley Podcast. Hey everyone, this is Rob Sparrow, the Viral Volley Podcast, and with technical difficulties, it is my honor to have some fellow anteaters on the screen with me who are involved with something that happened that to me is very big. It's Professional Volleyball United States. That's right, the NVA had a showcase this last weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah, and the name of the center that it was at is escaping me, but I'm sure one of you will step in. I want to introduce Olivia Phelps, ESPN sports analyst and sideline reporter. And of course, we've got Mr. England here joining us, who is the play-by-play, Nick England, that is, for every single match over the four-day weekend. So I'm surprised he has a voice and he's willing to come on. So, hey, Nick and Olivia, thanks for coming on the Viral Volley Podcast.
Hello. Thanks so much for having us.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to throw this question out there. It's kind of a softball question, but how did the both of you get involved with the NVA? And we'll go with the ladies first because we are gentlemen here on the Viral Volley Podcast.
Well, I am actually a product of Nick's hard work to bring on a sideline reporter. And Nick has been an incredible advocate for me to be part of the NVA. So Nick, I think, first reached out to me, back in last winter, maybe, prior to what should have been the 2020 season. So I was involved in kind of like a run through that happened in March, I believe, or maybe end of February last year. And Nick again brought me on board and we kind of did like a dry run. We had a couple matches and I was involved there. And I guess I passed the test. So I got to come on board for the most recent showcase. So Nick's really the reason why I'm involved at all.
And you somehow didn't even plug your legacy docuseries on stage. I'm really surprised because you're one of the first guests on the Viral Volley Podcast to talk about that incredible series you put together. But we can talk about that later, or you can go back to the previous podcast archive.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, you're up.
All right. So I have actually been involved. I played one season in the PVL, the old USA Volleyball Pro League. During that time, a team called Blizzard Volleyball began to exist back in about 2016. And so once that PVL season wrapped up, I ended up getting involved since that was a local team. I was flying up to NorCal to play with the old NorCal team while I lived in SoCal here. And so in about 2016, I got to meet the owner of the NVA, Bill Lee, and spent the next 5 years as the last guy on the second roster and just slowly worked my way up from organizing our gyms, helping build rosters that we're going to farm into our main NVA teams. And then over the last year, I was on the Stunners. And as some new teams needed to get created, decided to join forces with the owner of the Las Vegas Ramblers, Vinny Rodriguez, and became a player, assistant coach, recruiter, whatever you want to put on there. And this past weekend, we didn't really have a main go-to for the play-by-play. We had brought Matt Prosser, a Long Beach State alumni in, AVP veteran, but we wanted to kind of upgrade the broadcast. And so I know my playing days are limited and my skill cap is, it's a known quantity. So I said, you know, maybe this is something for me. So that's where the play-by-play was born this past weekend. So it's been a 5-year journey to get to where we are now.
Yeah. Well, if 28's old, I'm basically dead in the ground. And thanks a lot, Nick. I appreciate that. Well, let's go back to what are both your backgrounds in volleyball? And again, we'll do the ladies first, Olivia.
Yeah. Going way back, I played volleyball in high school and loved it. And then once I started working for the Big West Conference after my undergraduate career at UC Irvine, I was there when the Big West Conference started sponsoring beach volleyball and men's indoor volleyball. So the Big West Conference became the only NCAA Division I conference to sponsor all three in women's indoor, men's, and beach volleyball. So I kind of had the opportunity to run with that full steam ahead and really invest time in those programs and those coaches and those student athletes. And we were given incredible access, all the credit to the conference and those programs and staffs for allowing us to be as involved as we were in those first couple of years. And of course, like you mentioned, we got to be along the ride for Long Beach State's back-to-back national championship runs and with Coach Alan Knipp. So we did put together a 5-episode docuseries that second year, which was 2019. So I kind of knew some of the players and started integrating into that world. And I had the opportunity to interview some alums from Big West programs that were still mm-hmm. involved and are now involved with the NBA. So I kind of knew the world a little bit, and the last couple of years really invested a lot of time in getting to know the big players and what the culture of the sport was really like. So that's, I think, kind of how Nick started to catch on to what I was doing, and then maybe started to be on his radar a little bit.
Well, Nick's got a good eye, because if anyone's been with you, they know that you're a hard worker and you definitely have a passion for sports. So good catch, Nick.
Oh, absolutely. It's not hard. If you've been around Olivia at all, I mean, just her ability to know what she's talking about and just get quality information and get people to share their story. I mean, she's the best. So it was an easy first call.
Excellent. So well, how about your background? I see I did some cyber stalking on you, and mm-hmm. you're coming from a area which has increasing in providing talent, not only in the state, but worldwide, be it on whatever professional tour, be it beach, indoor, international. You're a San Diegan, and yep. there's some good things coming out of San Diego.
Yeah, so
burritos at the surf spots.
Yeah, definitely a little hidden gem called Mount Carmel. I played 3 years as a varsity player my sophomore year. I was starting same roster as my brother, so that was a cool little fun. We had two sets of brothers, two sophomores, two seniors. We were able to mm-hmm. Win a CIF championship that year, and then the following 2 years, two more CIF championships. Senior year, lost to MiraCosta in state finals. So that was the most notable thing for most of the volleyball world.
Not a bad loss, by the way.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Since then, some notable names would be Matt Youngren, came out of the same high school. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Keegan, who set at IPFW.
Right.
And unfortunately, when I was 15, I started having some back injuries. And while I couldn't get anything sorted out, insurance wouldn't get me the right tests. And then when I was 18, 3 years later, they finally determined I had about four sets of fractures in my spine. Mm. And so I had made commitments to play at UCSD. And mm-hmm. basically that halted in its tracks, ended up at UC Irvine to pursue a degree in business administration. And against what I was instructed, my health could handle, I played club volleyball. And that organization was about to collapse. We had a solid group of about 8 freshmen. And by the time I left, we were second in the nation. And I was a college club volleyball All-American.
Excellent.
And then from there, basically stopped playing. I thought I was done at that point. And I was drinking a beer on a sideline at the USA Volleyball Adult Nationals, saw guys playing the PVL, and arrogantly said, I can do that too. And so I decided to start playing, flying 2 to 3 times a month on my own dime up to NorCal to further my career. And then it kind of just all clicked. So I was honestly too dumb for my own good and made it all work. I just said, I can do this, and just worked out.
Not too dumb, because you minimize it to only one beer at the Nationals. And we know that in itself takes a lot of strength.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, let's go to our first question in regards to the NBA showcase. I'm going to leave you two to the details, because like I said, there's definitely I've been piecing together information where I can find it. But what was the format of the competition this last weekend? And how many total matches did the both of you work? And how about we let Olivia jump in, and Nick, you come on in.
Yeah, I think I'll let Nick talk the semantics with the tournament format, but we did both work, and Nick also played. So he was doing absolutely everything in addition to coaching and managing and calling play-by-play, but we both worked 20 matches in 4 days, which I counted the last time I had worked a game, it had been 250 days. exactly, which was 8 months and 7 days. So the ability to jump right back in and be adrenaline's pumping and you're exhausted in the best way possible. I mean, it was just such an incredible experience. So 20 matches in 4 days was so exciting, but I'll let Nick take the format of the tournament because he can say it like the back of his hand.
All righty, go for it, Nick.
All right, so basically the way the NBA is structured, last season we had 6 teams, now we have 8. So we've created the National League and the American League. The National League is comprised of the Ramblers, Southern Exposure out of Florida, Team Freedom, and the Orange County Stunners. And then we've got the American League, which is the Utah Stingers, the Ontario Matadors, Los Angeles Blaze, and Tennessee Tyrants. They were added last month. Mm-hmm. And so those teams played a round robin, one match, best of 5 each, and then you got a 1st through 4th seed, and then basically it slotted in to be a challenge bracket. So the 3rd and 4th from each pool played the other 3rd and 4th. Mm-hmm. Winner of that played the 2nd, winner of that played the 1st, and winners of those played in the finals.
Okay.
So the better you placed in your pool, the higher you placed into that challenge bracket, and you kind of got to avoid a lot of matches.
Wow. 20 matches, and it sounds like it could have been a haul if you were going in as a number 4 seed.
Oh, yeah. I think it was the least you could play was, I think, 5 matches to win it all, and the most was like 7 or 8. It was an adventure if you were a 3rd or 4th seed coming out.
But made for all the good drama if they did.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, what I can gather from the social media of the NBA and also the Utah Stingers, because they actually had an immediate post, they won the NBA showcase there in Salt Lake City, Utah, in front of the hometown, and defeating the Costa Mesa Stunners, yep. I believe it's 3-1. Can both of you share a little bit about the performance of the teams, the players in that, I guess it would be the championship or the first place match? Let's go, Olivia.
Yeah, I mean, from a viewer standpoint, the tournament and that championship had everything that you could have hoped. It was drama, such high-level volleyball. There was great analysis on the broadcast, and it was just such a well-done show. And then from a players and coaches standpoint, I talked to people, obviously, all weekend long, and they said the exact same thing. Like, the quality of talent had been unmatched in the States. You know, you're talking about former Olympians, you know, Russell Holmes was on that Stingers team. You have national players, Jake Langlois, who was the tournament MVP and who played on that team on the Stingers as well. I mean, you just can't say enough that this is volleyball that people want to watch, and it's such a great product, and there's such a high demand for men's indoor volleyball in the States. And I think that the NBA has everything that audience wants to see, from the diehard fans to the casual fans, and that championship match was just the perfect like microcosm of that.
Excellent. Anything to add, Nick?
I think she covered it pretty brilliantly. Yeah. Something that I was really loving, as we grow this league, it's really important to me that we are drawing a lot of international attention. So a lot of players from other leagues are trying to get involved. But something I was very proud of, so you had 2 different school of thoughts clash in the finals. The Stunners are the young, the flashy. They had 2 Canadians in Terrell Bramwell and Joey Jarvis. These guys have been playing in top tier leagues worldwide. They've got Matt Hilling, Nick Amato, obviously an anchor there. Almost every single starting player on that roster has played internationally. And then you've got the Utah Stingers with guys that have been involved at the highest levels of USA volleyball. But at the very core, they're all BYU. I think all but 2 of those guys are BYU Cougars. So,
yeah. Yep.
And they span a decade at least. Mm-hmm. So there's this group of nothing but homegrown talent that have grown up and played under the same system. And then this, and they're old. They're, you know, Russ is, I think, 38 or 39 compared to this young blood Stunners team. And so it was so easy to create this picture that you can root for either team. There's the hometown heroes of the Stingers, and the stories were writing themselves. Every single team all weekend long had an identity, the way the team wanted to play the game. And mm-hmm. that's why I'm excited, because as I'm sitting there trying to paint a picture of why someone should be a fan, how do they get involved? How do they follow a team? How do they pick that team? whether it's geographically or it's the fact that you can find, if you're a 5'10" outside hitter that's pursuing this dream of high level volleyball, there's going to be a player that's going to show you why that's possible, you know? Right. And so just, it gives every player hope and a way forward. You can see your idol and find your idol in this league. And I think that's so important. And so that was a huge thing. And I think the finals delivered that in leaps and bounds.
No doubt. Now, we'll go more into the final just because there's so many, like in my eyes, being that I've followed NCAA Division I, II, and all the way through the independents and small schools division of volleyball, I saw a lot of names I recognize. And I think it's extremely exciting that they're involved in it. So I'm definitely going to touch on them. But what about the other teams? I mean, one of the coolest names, Southern Exposure, the Tennessee Tyrants. What were some of the names that really stuck out on all those other rosters that come to mind? Again, ladies first.
Yeah. I mean, again, there was just so much talent across the board. Some names that definitely come to mind, and I know Nick is probably wanting to say the same thing, but Ian Kapp for the Tyrants. And the Tyrants were a team that were put together, I mean, days before. These guys had never played together as a whole. Some of them had maybe had a little bit of experience here and there playing with each other. But I mean, their setter came in having to set like a completely new offense. He didn't know these guys. And so Ian Kapp is a name that comes to mind right away. They had a particular match where the opposing team was at set point and he served 4 straight aces to keep his team in the match. And he went on to have 9 total aces in that match as a whole. I mean, and that's just something that you don't see every day. And everyone's just so excited. There's so much energy in the gym. And they're kind of that team, I would also say, that was undersized, that you just couldn't help but root for them. I had people before the tournament kind of come and say, you know, I was asking around just to get a feel for, like Nick alluded to, the identity of the teams. And they were like, you know, the Tyrants are great, but they're probably not going to win anything this weekend. It's just like, you know, getting their feet under them and testing the waters. And they did. They won sets and they came out and were so exciting to watch. And also Jake Malsnek from that team as well. He, same thing, so fiery, so capable, just really, really exciting to watch. So I think for me, the team that I was least expecting to wow me or stand out was the Tyrants, and they completely blew me away.
Absolutely. Those guys were a blast. And what's crazy is, you know, growing up in West Coast, we're so spoiled by D1 athletes with, 11 D1 programs or whatever it is. Those guys, everyone over here forgets that there's a wealth of D2 and D3 volleyball that just absolutely conquers the East Coast. And they're a product of that. And the crazy thing is Ian Kapp is a setter. They had 4 setters on that lineup. He starts the tournament playing opposite. They can't find an O2 and he comes out slamming balls all weekend. It was one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen, especially by a 6'1", maybe 6'2" outsides. In terms of what I saw from high level names, Southern Exposure didn't quite have their best weekend. They were struggling to click, but I mean, they've got Pepperdine greats like Kevin Voss, Caleb Denmark. They've got one of the most sought after US players with Joe Norman. He was one of the few guys sent over to South Korea for their open tryout. You go to the Ramblers. We have Antoine Aguillard, who's been in the USA gym playing overseas. We had a last minute pickup with Ryan Mather, the gentle giant that was the all tournament team right side, Gianluca Grasso from USC.
What roster was he on?
Ramblers. Yeah, he was a Rambler.
Oh. Okay.
Tanner Maxwell, set her out of Grand Canyon University, and that's where he actually knew Ryan from college. Go to LA Blaze. You've got a social media favorite out here with Greg Faulkner.
Black Panther.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Every Halloween throws on his onesie. Yep.
He wears that costume and he wears it well.
Yes, sir. They've got a wealth of guys they brought up from Puerto Rico that I think they had 5 guys from Puerto Rico that were just studs all weekend long. Team Freedom was one of the most unexpected teams because they have been a long time US, I think for 8 years they've existed now. and they have about 65 to 80 guys in their gym from Florida to the tri-state area. And they all travel, play together, train together. And that's where Tyrants was kind of an offspring of that team. But those guys are just ride or die teammates. And it's so hard to find an all-star because it's a bunch of your D2, D3 East Coast guys that love volleyball. They're playing open gyms. They're the kind of guys that are in your top fours at the Wapaka, like, you know, the grass tournaments. Just insanity. Yeah.
Well, and you actually bring up an excellent point is, you know, we've shown since 2016, there's been an increase of participation in men's and boys volleyball by 25%. So there's solid growth in the game and different areas from the Northeast to the Southeast to Midwest to the South. It's not just about California, Hawaii anymore. Right. So there definitely is a pool of talent out there that's wanting to play at such a high level. Just there's a deficiency of programs where they can go to, but it's not because they don't want to play. It's just they're looking for the opportunity to play, which is what the NBA and you know the club teams are offering for these players.
Absolutely. And one quick thing to note was just what I think is so cool about having teams like the Matadors and Team Freedom is their social media presence. They understand the importance, and so when they're growing the game, they're doing it in a different way. You know, the Matadors is another SoCal team. We've got three and half of the Ramblers are in SoCal. Matadors are out here with a group of 30 guys, and they're constantly working different pieces in. And they're a team that's not littered with D1 athletes. They brought a lot of their studs up from Puerto Rico, but it fills in nicely with a bunch of guys that they know what it is to create a good team atmosphere. And they were competitive all weekend long with multiple double-digit kill performances from a variety of players. They were just very, very well-rounded. And it was just great to see different ways to play the game all being successful.
Yeah. Now, Olivia, being the sideline reporter that you are, what particular personalities did you see as being good representatives of the NBA and this tournament this last weekend?
That is a great question. Nick mentioned Team Freedom, and their middle, Seifert, was a great advocate for their team and their program and so well-spoken. I would definitely have to put him in that category. One of my favorite stories from the weekend came from Ryan Mather of the Ramblers. He had RIP dad scribbled on his sneakers throughout the entire weekend. And so I asked him about it, and his father had been sick with cancer, and he was actually overseas this previous season, and his dad told him, stay. Like, I know that things look really bad, but stay and finish out your season. And he did stay, and his father ended up passing away. So this was the first weekend that he was back out on the court playing volleyball. And I feel like, one, he was an incredible interview post game. Again, very well spoken, great at what he does. He was on the all tournament team as well. And I feel like it speaks volumes about the NBA that he was willing to share that and entrusted the broadcast with that story. And so I would definitely have to say him. Those are the two guys that I think really stand out to me in terms of, you know, advocates for the sport and the league. And of course, Nick. I would be remiss not to say Nick England. And I also have to add from earlier that Nick made his play-by-play debut at the showcase, and he absolutely crushed it. I heard nothing but compliments, and I mean, the analysis that he was able to add and the insight that he has, one, understanding the game and the sport, but also the league. I mean, there's no one that can do it like Nick did, and he, I mean, again, I just have to give him kudos for that. He stepped into the booth, and you would never know that it was his first time.
Well, they're kind words, but I was just glad that Olivia and I were there doing sound checks, or we were supposed to be doing sound checks until 1 a.m. the night before. Never got to it. I slept for 3 hours. Olivia probably did about the same. And we got to the gym 15 minutes before go live with no audio check. And she said, it doesn't matter. The guys will figure it out. You just go do you. You're going to be great. And I'm just like, that's all I have to go on. So I'm just going to trust you. She was so supportive, just nonstop, you know, friendly pointers, and it just worked wonderfully.
See, I thought for sure you're going to come on and say, not only did I do play-by-play, but I got 32 kills and hit 900.
No, that is not who I am as a player. And anyone that is watching this or has watched me play in the NBA, the highlight of my 44 points or something like that, I got back-to-back blocks against Nick Amato and Dylan Emery from the Stunners. I'm going to call them out. They're close friends. And then I got served off the court and was promptly removed from the court and return to the bench to help my team continue winning or losing that match, but just continue our journey in the tournament from the bench.
How about you, Nick? When any particular stories and personalities stick out besides yourself that are good representatives of the weekend?
I think for someone in my position, it's hard to say one person because I have spent the better part of 3 years being the guy so far down the bench. The coach frequently forgets you exist. And on that note, a lot of the other players aren't going to know who you are. I don't come from a D1 program. I'm not notable in that way. And as the weekend started rolling and the play-by-play was going, it was just so unique and different for me to interact with all these coaches and players that wanted nothing more than to see the league grow, USA Volleyball grow. They were sharing stories, and I was just so overwhelmed with positive messages. And when you see the players support it that way, it's one thing to see the names on paper and know that what you have is a valid product and that you feel comfortable with it. But when you see every single guy with a smile on their face doing the little things, whether it's picking up trash around the gym or just doing what's asked of them at all points, it just felt like this is what's going to, you know, this is what it takes to succeed. So I don't have one interaction. It was just a 5-day period full of genuine people determined to make this work.
Awesome. Good. Well, let me bounce to our next question here. If you guys had to pick an all showcase team, any positions, don't have to go two middles, two outside centers and libero, but who are the people that would be on that all showcase team? And you guys can popcorn back and forth if that's easier for you. Cause I know there's a lot of names. So
I've got rosters on my screen over here. So cool. I gotta,
Olivia's got to memorize cause she's just that intelligent.
I have it written down too. So I can't take all the credit, but I will start with, honestly, I think the tournament, the all tournament team nailed it. So a lot of what I would have said is what came to fruition. So I'll start with Long Beach State alum Nick Amato in the middle.
Oh yeah, stud all weekend long. Do we want to go over the all tournament team really quick?
Didn't see a post on that, so that's why I asked that question. I didn't see it out there.
So the all tournament team was seven people, two for the outsides, two for the middles, one for every other position, and then a MVP was selected from that roster. So the middle blockers you had were Nick Amato from the Stunners and then Antoine Aguillard from the Ramblers. The opposite was Ryan Mather from the Ramblers. The outsides we had were Jake Langlois from the Stingers, and it was Joey Jarvis, the outside from the Stunners. The libero was a little bit – that was a big debate. That one finally went over to from Tyrants number 5, Ryan Alu. The setter of the event was Stunner setter Jeff Schmitz, and then
UC Irvine alumni. I've got to throw in, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah, he was plays on the 2007 team that won the national championship. He's a red shirt.
Rip him eaters. And then I think that's everyone. And then Jake Langlois was the tournament MVP.
Wow.
So to add off of that, I think
and Liv's picks. How about that?
Sure. So what, Olivia, who did you think, or who was the other close ones that may not have made it for you?
So I also added Russell Holmes. And then, and I cannot think of his name, so Nick, please help me out here. The Matadors libero.
Yes, that's who I was looking up to. Okay. That was amazing to watch. Yes, Matadors.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yes, it was Malero, I believe. Yes. Yeah, Jose Malero.
Yes.
Number 11, the shortest guy in the gym, the most casual libero you've ever seen that gave almost every team an absolute nightmare of a problem to figure out how to score around him.
Absolutely. He would definitely be on my roster. And I had to add Ryan Kenny from the Tyrants.
Yep. Center. He was the setter for them.
Yes. Other than that, mine were repeats.
Okay.
So I would add a couple. Charles Belvin, the opposite from LA Blaze. This is a young NAIA player, played at Hope. I've worked with Charles for a long time between the Blizzard and Stunners gyms. And then as the Blaze began to exist, Charles played outside of his mind. And he was on a roster surrounded by players far more experienced than him. But he was the absolute catalyst to keep that roster going at all times. So he was a ton of fun to watch. Definitely excited. Oh. I think he's like 23 years old. Yeah, well, who came to mind for you?
Christian Encarnacion.
Oh, yeah. Number two outside hitter for the Matadors. Guy is an absolute beast. Had multiple 20-plus kill matches.
Yes.
Just went off. Their opposite for the Matadors as well, Jair Santiago. He's like a 6'11" opposite that was – that guy was a workhorse and was carrying that team through some tough late game matches that he was impressive to watch for sure.
Was he in the Puerto Rican national team program?
I think he was. I cannot remember. I've known Jair for probably 3 years. Again, another guy that's been in the Blizzard and the Stunners gyms for a long time. And as Matadors was, you know, came to fruition, he got involved with them. And this past weekend was the best volleyball I've ever seen him play. Hand over fist. It was a real treat.
Yeah. Wow.
Trying to think if anyone else came to mind. Oh, for Team Freedom, their setter or their right side and setter, Sam Albus, as well as Matthew Elias. They were a ton of fun to watch. Freedom's just a treat in general because Freedom and Tyrants are both just so team oriented that just throw a match on and watch. You're gonna have a good time.
Awesome. Well, you know, so I wanted to go back and talk about some of the rosters, particularly in the final, because especially being a follower of NCAA D1 and 2 particularly, I saw a lot of names that was so refreshing to see on there. And I'm going to put a date on myself because names like Yoslater Kala, who's listed on the Stingers roster, he's at BYU in 2006 when UCI made their first Final Four run. I was like, he's still playing the game. And I remember seeing him at BYU matches in recent years looking incredible. So it doesn't surprise me that he's still playing. But Ryan Boyce, who's a setter there, Hamilton Day, Leo Durkin, another setter at Storm Fagata Tafuga, Phil Fuchs, Gavin Heap, Carson Henninger, of course, Russ Holmes, Jake Langlois, Russ Lavaya. I mean, and Futi Tavana was a coach who could technically still play middle.
Yeah.
He's pretty recent out of BYU as well. And then you throw in a couple guys from Grand Canyon. I guess I felt sorry for those guys down there. So, but they, I mean, that Utah Stinger roster is essentially a BYU team that can crush people.
Yeah.
So
that was one of the funniest things that throughout the weekend, people were like, oh, we almost got the Stingers. And just because I got to watch them and like be dialed in every match, they did the scariest thing because they might lose game one. If they lost, they were losing early sets, never late. And you could just watch all of these veteran players figuring out how they were going to win. So they could be down by 6 points from the same problems. You know, they're getting beat by the outsides. So they're like, okay, we're going to make this blocking adjustment, a personnel change. We're going to do this, that. And you see it kind of happen throughout two timeouts, some discussion on the court. And then by game two or three, not only is that not a problem anymore, but it's just the way that the Stingers are now winning through the same thing that was just a problem. And it was... Yeah. Oh man, they are oppressive. We played them in the semifinals and that team just, they choke you out of the game. You don't even get to play against them. They're impressive.
Well, I know Olivia is pretty familiar with a lot of people in the Stunners. So I know that, you have the great overall knowledge being that you have to announce them and learn them pretty fast. But the Stunners, we saw a lot of familiar names out of the Big West and the West Coast in general. Nick Amato, Long Beach State. Avery Ellsworth actually went to Loyola. Shane Beamer, UCSC. Johannes Brink, who was at Cal Baptist before they ended their program. Corey Chavers is listed on that roster. Garen Tomasarek and Nick West at University of Hawaii. Predney and where's the other? Isaiah Ka'a at Concordia. And Lewis Richard, another 49er. And that's another great roster. So that final, I thought personally, well, pulling from my OC homies, I thought they would at least push them a five, but the Stingers.
Well, it's worth noting, you're looking at the paper there, but since then, Shane Beamer, Lewis Richard, they're both overseas. John Predney was not able to be there. Matt Hilling had a massive hip strain that took him out during the semifinals, in which they almost dropped to the Tyrants, and they had to sub in a very, very injured Chavers as an outside. He was able to get warmed up for the finals, but Stunners was actually the smallest roster there with no replacement outsides if Chavers wasn't warm, and then one sub in every position. So that's them taking the set. We all honestly thought that they were going to go drop. They were going to get dropped in three with no chance, and not because of a lack of talent, but because we didn't know they were going to have an O2 to play. Dylan Emery got subbed in earlier as an opposite, as an outside, because that was all they had.
Right. Wow.
But I mean, that there's is that team drama. Never Say Die. They are, they know how to win, plain and simple. They're going to find a way. Kirk Francis at the helm, Garrett Como in the back line.
There's... You got to throw in there again. Kirk Francis, another Long Beach State alum.
Yep. I mean, that's the team, I used to play with those guys. I was a Stunner. Yeah. I've got my jerseys. Like, those guys are Never Say Die, and you got to respect them. They're going to be a team to go far for sure.
Well, it sounds like an exciting weekend out in Salt Lake City, Utah for the NBA Showcase. I've got to ask both of you, but what are your overall thoughts on the NBA Showcase with the production, participation, quality of play, presentation through streams? I mean, just the whole package. What are your thoughts? And we'll start with Olivia.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the production. It was a multi-camera. I'm trying to count in my head, but I want to say upwards of seven camera.
I think it was eight.
Eight camera production that was, I mean, out of this world in terms of a stream. This was a streamed weekend, and you're talking about two people in the booth plus a sideline reporter. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a stream produced at that level of production. The production crew that we had the opportunity to work with was incredible. They started working in double boxes. They started, you know, incorporating so many different things by the third and fourth days that really just takes that broadcast to the next level. And I think the fact that I was there just speaks volumes about what the league is willing to do to take the next step forward in terms of adding a sideline reporter and investing in having that addition to the broadcast. I was able to be, you know, in every huddle at each timeout, and we worked in coaches' interviews from both sides before every match, plus a star player of the match after the conclusion. And that's, again, just something that you don't see all the time. And so in terms of production, it was, I mean, five stars across the board for me. And the level of talent, I know we touched on before, but I'm just so excited to see, you know, we talk about growing the game. I'm so excited to see that there is a great number of people who want to see it so badly succeed, and not just want to see it, but are willing to do whatever it takes. And I mean, Nick is the first one, you know, he's jumping and doing everything that he possibly can. He gets me on board. And the NBA staff is just, they're all Knicks. They're all people who badly want to see it succeed and do whatever it takes. You know, we have people, we were there almost every night, hours after the last match, like Nick said, we're picking up trash, we're doing all of these different things, and you just feel it. I know I was talking to some colleagues afterwards, and I entered the gym on that first day, literally, I think, only knowing Nick and then the handful of players that I had the privilege of covering in their collegiate days. But I genuinely left feeling like I was part of the family. And the comments from the coaches on day four and the things that the student athletes were, again, willing, or just the athletes were willing to share. I'm so used to saying student athlete, the things that the athletes are willing to share was, again, just as such a testament to where this league is and the ability that it has to grow and where it can go. And I genuinely believe that this is just the beginning, and I'm so excited to see where it goes from here.
Excellent. How about you, Nick? Excellent. Experience of gathering and also just sharing with us. But I'd love to know from the player, former player, converted to play-by-play, to business runner, to trash picker-upper.
Yeah, do it all. You know, 1 year ago when we were, you got to see a, I think it was probably a 2 or 3 camera production out in Vegas when we had that December showcase.
Three.
And then in terms of going for a full season, it was kind of 1 or 2 cameras on the end line with voice over the play. And it's a very easy thing to be happy about because that's a way to present a product. But what we were all excited about, what I was excited about and couldn't contain all weekend, because Olivia and I didn't actually see what we were doing. I don't know if Olivia saw it until she got home. I saw it after a team dinner the third night in for the first time. That was one of the few matches I didn't do the commentation for. And seeing what an 8 camera product, the box in box, what pros like Olivia, what it really brings to the aura, the atmosphere, it was incredible. And I walked into the hotel and I was talking to the Tyrants guys because they were eating dinner and watching the current match. It was the Matadors and the Stingers, or Blaze and Stingers. And we were all just laughing that in 1 year, this is how different of a product someone like Bill Lee is determined to make, you know, USA Volleyball experience. Far as the players go, the fact that the players had a month and a half heads up, they're dealing with COVID restrictions. So some of these guys, even though they know, they don't have access to a gym. Everyone's trying to be in shape after 8 months of being at home. Most of these, so the typical schedule will run April to July, and that's what the plan is for next year.
Right.
That puts us in the off season for international. Every one of these rosters has 5 guys at least that are overseas right now.
Yeah.
So, wow. And every team already had 4 or 5, if not 8 or 9 guys that have played overseas. Almost every roster next season is going to be comprised of athletes that have or will experience overseas play. Like, the level is absolutely incredible. So the only thing I had to harp on was men's service in volleyball. Serves are always the talked about point. And, you know, this was no exception at times, but seeing it courtside, this was D1 level, if not higher. You know, there was some of those like little things you want to see the floor increase, like some of the mistakes don't happen, but that's where when you've got guys that have been playing, new rosters, things like that, it's going to.
Right.
But the upside is just so, so high. So I'm totally on a high from the weekend still.
Oh, I can definitely tell. Well, let's end on this question here, and both of you definitely grab it onto the answer if you'd like. What's next for the NBA and for both of you?
Olivia, I'll let you start that one off.
What's next? I don't know if I can speak to what's next for the NBA, but what's next for me in the NBA, hopefully more of what we saw this weekend. And I am so happy to be part of anything that they're willing to let me be part of. So hopefully that looks like more live productions. I would love to do some features, like sit down long form features, short form features. Just content creation in general, whatever that looks like moving forward. There are, like I alluded to earlier, so many talented athletes. But one of the things too that we talked about, kind of as we all got a little more familiar with each other, is that these are also, you know, guys that are creating video games in their 9-to-5, and they're, you know, mechanical engineers, and, you know, they're working all of these different jobs, and they have their hands in so many different things. And those are the stories that I love to hear and that I would also love to tell. So hopefully as the league moves forward and advances and we see what the next season looks like, those are some things that we get to work in as well.
Excellent. All right, Nick, how about you?
So from the NVA side, I know that a showcase like this, the goal is always how safely can we present our product, you know, as quick as possible, given COVID going on, and the league work relentlessly to be safe this tournament, take care of the athletes, but also make sure that people had something to watch and look forward to. So I don't know if anything is on the books yet. I know the planned season, like I said, is about April to mid to late July, I believe. And that's going to be basically the format is National League has a couple events, three or four events. American League has three or four events. And then the top, I believe the plan is the top two from each of those will go into a formal playoffs and you'll, you know, form an NBA champion. So looking forward to that in 2021 as everything hopefully starts to get back underway. As for me, like I said, unexpectedly kind of retired this last weekend from playing. So just super excited to work with Matt Prosser, who was on the desk with me, work alongside Olivia. And I think the exciting thing, like Olivia talked about a little bit, why I really think that we needed Olivia. And when I was talking to the NBA about why we should bring her on, it's just like she said, that the story's off the court. And so I'm excited to continue working with Olivia because one of the biggest strengths of the NBA is it's fueled by people like the three of us. So if we say we want to do something, they say, ready, go. And there's no one there to say that that's not a good idea. They want to hear your pitch and then they say, take it away.
Yep.
And it's not more than a 10-minute conversation most of the time. I told them, I was like, hey, I'm interested in play-by-play. They said, okay, great. I found out later, I stream video games in my free time. I found out that my stream was watched to see how my on-camera presence was. And that's what got me the okay, go ahead, you're going live. And so
talking trash while playing video games.
Yeah, you know. And same kind of things. I want to keep things educated. I want to help people along the way. I'm a student of whatever I'm doing. And when you have a veteran like Olivia step in there and she says, hey, think about this, be mindful of this, and that's what it is. That's what the NBA is at its very core. So when people want to get involved, reach out, find your local team, get highlight footage together, whatever it is. And there's not a right or wrong formula. Every single person involved basically just wanted to be involved. And one of the unfortunate things I would love to see the volleyball community be better about is a lot of them, they come out of college and they think that the way they were treated in college is the way you go forward. And it's not the case. With a startup league like this, put your best foot forward, work hard. The more committed you are, the faster this runs and the more you get out of it. So for those young 18-year-olds out there, if you don't go to college, you play college club, NAIA D3, or you're going D1 and you're next All-American, it's okay. All of us have the same path for now. And just be excited and energetic. USA Volleyball is young and you'll find your way.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's finish up this way because I'm a huge advocate for promoting the personalities and the players as well as the organizations in the game. So how can volleyball fans follow each of you individually and the NBA? We'll start with Olivia.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Livy Phelps, LIVIPHELPS. And then Twitter, my handle is Olivia G. Phelps. And you can also check out Legacy on YouTube by searching Long Beach State Legacy.
So for NVA, I'll plug them first. NVAUSA.com is the main website for NVA. And all of the teams, as of about 3 weeks ago, have brand new websites. There is an app that is either currently up or will be up shortly. So check that out as well. All the matches go through there. NVAUSA through YouTube. You'll get all of the matches. I think there's now 35 uploads, all the full-length matches, and NVAUSA on Instagram. For me, I'm now starting to pay attention to my online presence. So for that wonderful, wonderful Instagram experience, you can go check me out at England, E-N-G-L-A-N-D, that's how I spell my last name, I-N-S-D. It's a reference to a country that lives in San Diego, so.
Hey, again, I want to thank Olivia Phelps and Nick England of the NVA for sharing about the recent NVA showcase in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm looking forward to the work that you guys do and what's happening in the NVA in the upcoming months. And thanks again for coming on the Volleyball Podcast.
Thank you so much, Rob.